Hey everyone, welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You Show. My name is Alisa.
My name's Liz. Hey.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Do we have anybody in the queue?
We don't.
Oh.
I know.
Oh. Oh.
Hey.
That's okay. Oh, my goodness. Go ahead, girl.
No. I know the ongoing saga with
being a mom.
Being a mom. I also tried to do some follow-up with the friend of mine who is out west.
Mm-hmm.
And had sort of posted some troubling things on Facebook.
What happened?
Well, I mean, I don't have any resolution on it really, but I got in contact with a mutual friend who lives here, and because this friend also had posted, like, had replied back to one of her posts the same day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, you know, concerned, like, oh, you know, that level of concern that we don't know, because we didn't know. We're just like, hey, you know,
or if it's
what
cryptic,
can we do?
You don't know. How do you read
right.
into that?
Right. So I had messaged her actually that day on Sunday, and she just got back to me yesterday. She's like, I just saw this. And so we ended up talking. She called me. And we ended up talking, but we were both kind of in the same boat. She said, I haven't really seen her since, not college, but maybe law school.
Yeah, but to take it on, that's like a Pandora's box. What's going on?
Right.
Who's in her? Who's in the close circle? Or is this mental illness? So it doesn't make sense. It's random and arbitrary.
A lot of it. Yeah.
I think there's a mental illness situation. So you have to be so careful, because there's
right.
like your inner circle and your peripheral circle, and I'm sorry, you guys are in the peripheral circle.
We're totally
yeah.
in the peripheral. I mean, and that, I think we were just trying to piece that together,
yeah.
because I assume that she was closer, because
right.
one, they're like closer to the same age, and
right.
they're both lawyers, you know, by
right.
trade. But she said, no, I really haven't, you know,
uh-uh.
spoken to her.
Yeah, you can't take it on.
In years. So between the two of us, we kind of – it was actually good to reconnect, because –
sure. It was an opportunity.
She was always like a voice of reason. She was one of the more active members of our fraternity. And,
uh-huh.
and so I did – you know, for those people, I tend to have a better relationship with them, because – they usually come to me at some point. We all have to work together, and anyone who's in a leadership position or is you know, superstar kind of person, they end up talking to more of the advisors for just everyday stuff. So she said, it's, you know, it was just like, this is good to reconnect. And
right.
But we're piecing it together. Like, you know, we just don't know enough about the situation, and there's so many things that are off. But, you know, even with our phone calls, you know, for this show, when people, we don't know who these people are, and we don't
mm-hmm.
know the situation. We don't know the story. And
right.
if it's any bit as disjointed as this stuff that I kind of looked at on Facebook, you know, there's so much more that we just don't know.
Yeah. Can you just for clarity, can you
mm-hmm.
describe like the nature of the post, and was it just a posting on that ended up in everybody's timeline? Like what was
well,
it?
Well, there's a little bit of that. There's a little bit
okay.
of that.
So what was it?
It was because all of this was taken down on her profile.
Oh, so it's
in the last
been taken
couple
down
of days.
Since?
So, yeah, even the post that my friend and I had replied to, and a
okay.
lot of other people had replied to, that's been
okay.
taken down. So there's more to the story, but the original post was something like, it was basically like I don't know, the only way I could describe it is she's just wigging out, and she's just asking, you know, can someone, you know, call me? Or she was thanking people who did call her.
Right.
You know,
okay, well, people called her. That's good.
So some people did contact her, but it was still, she was it was still stuff that's for it to be posting so early. You know, there she's on the West Coast. So
oh, right. You said that.
She hadn't been asleep yet, you know, and this is me just waking up Sunday morning early, like 7:30-ish, noticing these things. And it was like a mixture of a cry for help and I miss home. And
oh my God.
And then and as I'm looking through some of her more recent posts, a lot of them were just like posting memories from when she was back here, you know, our side of, you know, like with old friends from our school or from law school. And and so, I mean, I'm not sure, but it was getting, as I look at the timeline, it was looking more and more bleak, like certain things were triggering her.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You know, she's had some really, really bad days. And she's not one that she didn't post a lot, or at least I didn't see a lot of this stuff. But when I was looking at her timeline, you know, she was just mostly posting stuff about her and her boyfriend and, you know, going on vacation and, you know, things like that. Fairly happy stuff. And then all of a sudden, within the last, you know, say month or so,
something was starting to
be really weird. So, when I briefly talked with her for the first time in years, you know, I messaged her, gave her my number.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, if you do need to talk, I mean, at the very least, you know, she's not, no one's ignoring her, but the people she's reaching out to are on the other side of the country. You know, like what can we do?
Yeah, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right? But
there's a lot that doesn't make sense.
No, a lot of it doesn't make sense. And the fact that the post was taken down, I think is a good thing,
so
right?
The follow-up to that. So when I talked to her, she didn't even talk about anything that was going on with her other than she didn't sleep and that she wanted to know more about the people that I had recommended. Like, I have friends in that area who are nice people. So I don't know what they can offer her, but there are people
who
are nice people. Right.
Right.
But that was, you know, it was a weird conversation because I'm like, well, here I am calling you. You haven't slept.
She wasn't disclosing anything.
No.
Oh, how weird.
And but she just totally like took the conversation to like, oh, you know, your parents are taking these fabulous trips. I want to meet your parents. I want to go on a trip. We should all go on a Disney cruise. Okay.
Yeah, no, she's having an episode, it sounds like, of some sort.
Something was going on. So I did not hear from her. You know, I actually messaged her after, like a little bit later on that same day, messaged her and said, we still really didn't talk about you and what was going on.
Yeah,
you know,
so, hello.
You know, I've already done a follow-up with as many people as I could in that area who could respond back. And while no one can really, you know, dedicate a lot of time to see you today because they don't even know who you are, you know, these people, that like, you could message them, and if they need to, you know, if you can meet up with them, that's great. But, you know, so I was trying to give her some type of resource that's closer, that's right there. She never replied back. And then the next morning,
Go ahead.
I'm looking, I'm doing it kind of after I've finished journaling or whatever. I'm on Facebook scrolling through, and I see one of these, profiles. It's for her. It's her name, but no picture. So it's a new profile because it comes up under people you may know.
Oh,
I'm like, well, that doesn't happen. You know, I'm already friends with you, so it wouldn't show up on that.
So why? Yeah, that's weird.
So she created, or someone created, a new profile. This person has one friend, but the posts, because I clicked on it, I'm like, what's going on?
Right.
They're all from that morning, Monday morning, saying, please call me. This is an emergency. I'm a victim of domestic violence.
Oh my God.
You know, and here's my number. So she's putting her number. I'm like, well, wait a minute. If someone call SPD, so I'm assuming the Seattle Police Department.
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
If you have a phone, why are you not calling the police?
Why are you putting it on Facebook?
Right.
Oh, it's so
and
weird.
And what it sounded like was like her the guy she's dating, who's also, I guess they both met at our school. I don't know who he is. And I thought they were living out there. They're at least both in the same part of the country. I don't know if they were living together, but I just don't know enough about them.
Oh,
but
my God.
She had posted that like him and his mother are not letting her log in. So
I mean, is she
that,
like being held against her will? Like, this is weird.
See, I don't know. And that's
ooh.
What I have. None of it makes sense. None of it makes sense. And so that was the sort of conversation like my friend and I were trying to piece together.
Sure.
Last night.
Oh, my God.
And we both felt, you know, we felt like we needed to do something, but we didn't know what we could do. And we don't
what
even
is
know
that. Yeah.
All the circumstances, we just don't know.
Right.
In fact, my friend didn't even have her phone number. I said, well, this is the number that I have. I talked to her. I'm assuming I talked to her. It sounded like her, you know, but
now
so
you're
going to
question everything.
I'm questioning everything. So,
oof.
You know, when these things, when people,
oh my God,
out, none of it makes sense. Like if it were logical, it wouldn't be called a freak out, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. There's just a lot of question marks there, and she has not replied back.
Oh my God!
To anybody, although technically her post she had posted stuff on her new profile as of Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's just been very strange.
What do you? Well, there's really not much you can do.
No, there isn't.
I mean, thank God that you're in Atlanta. I mean, not for anything, but like, oof,
oh, yeah.
Glad you're not anywhere near the Pacific Northwest. My God.
Right. Right. And
crazy.
And the tough part is, you know, like how do you, if you call.
And you're concerned,
call,
of course. Right.
Sure. Like, but if you call the police from here.
Yeah, I know a little bit about that.
What do you do? What do you do? How do you tell people, well,
right.
I actually don't know where she is in the city of Seattle.
No, there's,
but
you
I have
can't
a phone number,
because
you know,
you're not that close. And
no.
Somebody,
no.
You, we're going to have to hope that there's somebody as logical as you that is closer to her,
mm-hmm.
physically and emotionally.
Personally, yeah.
And that they can take care of this, because what can you do?
Then again, we also have to think about the platform for, you know, how stuff like Facebook or even Twitter or Instagram, you know, mostly, well, I would say Facebook and maybe Twitter.
This is why we don't like Facebook.
You know,
well, this is me. Yeah. Mm-mm.
You
yep.
don't. You just don't.
You don't
what
know.
You don't know who has access.
It could be somebody catfishing her. You just don't know.
It could be. It could be.
I don't think so, because you guys spoke.
And yeah.
Something's going on with her. It sounds like a psychotic episode to me.
Right.
But
well,
there's
and
really.
I was asking my friend. I said, well, what kind of law does she practice? Because
oh,
it
she's a lawyer.
Sound, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, not that every lawyer is like making a ton of money.
Yeah,
but
she's
a
lawyer.
I was asking.
She would know how to get
that's
help.
That's what I was asking.
Yes.
I said, you know, she has resources, and she's a very, very smart woman. So I said,
something
what type
snap.
Of law? What field of law is she in? And my,
right.
You know, my friend was saying, well, you know. Because this person had posted, like, she's got depression and she had some health issues.
Oh,
and,
my God.
My friend here said, she said, well, you know, all lawyers have some form of depression at some point because it's just hard to
yes.
do the sort of job
sure.
that we do. But
sure.
She said, all the
sure.
other stuff, though, she said, I think she recently, within the last year or so, started working in family law.
Oh,
but
well,
also dealing
it.
With it. And also dealing with like mental illnesses. So I'm like, I wonder if one of her
God.
Clients, you know, has taken her identity. I mean, I just, there are all these
that
different
could,
things
that
very,
just
came
you
up.
You know what? That very well could be. Yeah.
So.
But you talked to her and it sounded like her. Like you
it
would,
sounded like her. She mentioned things, you know, she mentioned some things that, you know.
No, you talked to her.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
it's
you did.
Her.
You spoke to her. Right.
So. Oh. It, you know, oh, I'm just so confused. And so
yeah,
so
this is
like,
a
so
crazy.
many people. So many people are like, what? We just don't know her well enough now
right,
to find channels
step
to reach
in,
her.
And this is
right.
This could be dangerous. This is an
right.
extreme situation, and it's not like you're in proximity. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
So all you can do is just, you know, hold light and space and protect yourself, because that's some weird juju.
It was.
Wow.
And
I'm
is,
sorry.
You know.
That's crazy.
So no resolution on it. I sort of journaled a little bit about it last night, just sort of like releasing that, saying, you know, I'm just
right.
doing exactly what you just said. Like, you know, I want to, you know, make sure I send her some good energy, but there's
that's
only
all you
so
can do.
Much
you can't
that
take
I
it
can
on.
Do. And,
right.
Mm-hmm. Sort of have to leave it at that. It's just very bizarre.
It's disturbing.
It is disturbing, and that's not the only time I've seen something like that on Facebook with another one of my younger friends. So these are all, you know, people in their 20s now.
Right.
Where they have this meltdown on Facebook.
Yeah. Oof.
And it throws you off, because, you know, you see a lot of stuff. You know, people will post a lot of stuff. But when it takes a weird turn like that, and it's like constant,
dangerous.
Like same post for, you know, for a few minutes at a time,
and that lives
like,
forever.
Well, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's like, what if, you know? Oh my God, people just put their stuff out there. They're so reckless. It's like getting that tattoo with the girlfriend or boyfriend's name, and you're like 21. Stupid. It's just reckless.
That's stuff that happens, you know, around us. And because we're so old school, you know, to have these platforms where you notice things, but then you don't even know what the whole story is. You know, definitely that weird feeling of anytime someone's having a crisis, you always. Unless you are like even I guess even trained professionals are still like, you have to proceed with caution and
of course, yeah,
and try to take in everything you can, but or understand, not like take it all in, but just try to figure out what's really going on here,
right?
Because there's
the
already a lot of layers to this, and
right,
there was, and this brings back something that happened in college. It's Emily's a hotbed of all kinds of crazy stuff, but. My freshman year, there was an incident. It got a lot. The whole community was just, what's going on? And the incident was in my dorm, but on the fourth floor. I was on the first floor. It was on the women's floor. There was a young black girl who said that she had had vandalized, like broken in her room. She was sharing it with another person, but only her stuff got vandalized. Like, and there were like racial slurs. And it happened in her room. So when she came, she said that, so there was a big police report, and this is a, you know, 1989. And it was a big, anytime that happens on campus is a big to do. But it was such a mystery because there are only four floors to our dorm.
Right.
And being on the fourth floor, there's a reason why you go up there. You either live there or you're visiting somebody. You know, people don't just pass through that fourth floor. And there's usually somebody on that floor, on each floor, who kind of keeps an eye out on things. You know, some people like to stay out in the hallway and they, you know, they're studying but to have no one see anybody out of the ordinary walk up and down that floor or go in and out.
Uh-huh.
It after a while, because everyone was in outrage, like, oh, you know, how dare it happen? And then after a while, all the investigations led to her doing it to herself.
Oh,
so that was a twist.
Oh,
and she ended up having to leave school. I mean, that's
what was the reason?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know, because back then no one called it mental illness. You know, no one said any,
right.
And I don't know.
Self-harm. Oh, my God.
Yeah, because we had the whole community, a whole university was up in arms about it.
And the ripple effect.
Right.
This is what I tell my
right.
son. It's like when you're late to school for a state test or whatever, it affects everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the ripple effect. This friend of yours in Seattle, like, there's a ripple effect. Like, we're talking about it on this random radio show.
Well,
you know what I mean?
There's
like,
an effect there. Yeah,
There's such an effect, and I don't think people really realize their impact, or that if you can make an impact like that, this is what I was telling my son this morning, who's still not going to school yet, that you can make an impact in the total opposite direction. You can prove
mm-hmm.
everybody wrong and not be a victim.
Right.
You know, you could prove everybody wrong and use that brilliant mind that God gave you. Obama's mother used to wake him up every day at 5 o'clock to make sure that he did his work.
Wow.
And I'm not just saying this because he's my kid. He has an amazing mind.
I know he does.
And
I know he does. And
my amazing mind is like, you know, barbed wires on it because I, you know, just to save this little piece of it for the listeners, because you know just a little bit off the air, but I basically was in a cop car patrolling the neighborhood looking for my son at 11 o'clock last night. And I was working till 10. And thank God I don't work every night till 10 o'clock, just once in a while. But I had to teach from 7 to 10. So that was my night.
So like those, you're right, the ripple effect, you don't always see what that means. And I guess to some degree that's the whole point, is that whatever world you're in, for you to make these kinds of decisions, whether it's because you think something's really happening to you or in the case of my college dorm mate.
Right. This is crazy.
I didn't know her, but it was such a shock to have that happen, because you know now we're all on alert. You know, everyone's like, well,
right.
who's going into these
Everybody's
dorms?
Everybody's damaged. It's collateral damage.
Who's going to these dorms and who's writing up racial epithets? You know,
oh
on people's books and you know, on a college campus, everyone's on high alert. Like you know, all your rights can be, you know.
Yes.
It's under a microscope. Like we demand this, and you know, there's a lot of, you know, the protests, and that's sort of the culture and the climate that you get in college.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
But when it happens and you're 17, 18 years old, you're away from home for the first time.
Yep.
There's a lot of pressure because it's not just a school, it's a school where everyone's super competitive with their grades. So you don't want anything throwing off your game. You know, you want to have a good experience, but you're also trying to learn how to adapt into this type
right.
of situation where you aren't at home. You don't have your parents or anybody that you probably know to
right.
help guide you. You kind of got to figure this stuff out on your own. It was interesting even then for me because it was that sense of, well, anybody could be violated. Anything can happen. And even the people who are angry at it, I mean, and it wasn't just, you know, black people, it was all everybody.
Everybody was enraged, I'm sure.
Yeah, and it was kind of scary to see people because it was in that anger, you know, so when you get into that protest type of situation and everyone's got this, they got this beef, you know, they gotta talk about it. And
right.
it's almost like if you're not with them, you're against them. So there was no middle ground. When the kid, all of us were like, oh, you were just so mad. But it was a little scary because there was a lot of accusatory tones.
Yes.
And that was exactly how I felt. Like, well, you know, if you don't know, if you can't fix it, you're probably part of the problem. It's like, whoa, that's a very strong line to draw, you know?
Wow, that's extreme.
It got to that level because it was so unheard of. Like it was such a big mystery. And then when it, again, now I'm looking back in hindsight, like that's, you know, how things can be spun a different way, a certain way. So, but what we got out of it was that there wasn't, they didn't catch anybody doing anything, you know? And this was not a time period where there were cameras or anything like that.
There's social media, but, right?
Yeah, so the investigation was that she did all those things to herself for whatever reason. And even that was even more shocking.
yeah, that's devastating.
So, then everything just kind of quieted down, but it was just a very strange situation to be in. And I guess that was first experience with something where this stuff doesn't make any sense. And this was somebody who was, you know, intelligent Black woman. Didn't know her backstory. We didn't, because I think this happened like maybe first semester. I mean, it was my freshman year.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
First or second semester.
She had
so
a,
it
like,
wasn't
nervous breakdown or something. Poor thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I knew her. I knew later on. I knew her her roommate. But even her roommate was like, I have no idea what happened. She's like, I'm just as stunned as you are. She's like, I don't even know what was going on. And she didn't. She's like, she didn't show any signs. Like, she didn't say she had any problems. But you know, at Emory, they would match up. You had to live on campus freshman year, and they matched you up with your roommate unless you had a request. They basically put you in with somebody who was completely different from you.
Oh, thanks.
So,
right.
You know, they wanted, like, oh, the diversity and all that stuff. They
yeah,
wanted,
yeah, yeah.
You know, so my roommate was from New Jersey. they did a lot of that. So some were from the South, some were from the North, you know.
Right. That's funny.
So, you know, white girl, Black girl, you know, just something, they just tried to do it. Unless you asked and requested because you knew somebody, and some people who, like, were from the Atlanta area, some of them did request, like, oh, my high school roommate's also going here.
Right.
So, but that those were very rare. So you were in for, you know, a big shift in what you were comfortable with, and you had to get to know, people who are different from you. You know? Everybody had that for the most part. People had to go out of their comfort level, way out of their comfort level, and for the most part, it seemed to work. You know, it was really good to have that. Like, oh, because I didn't meet many people who were Jewish and from up north.
Right.
You know, welcome to Emory. That's all of them. You know, they're like, we all have this accent, and we're all going to keep kosher right now. So, so learning kosher was something new for me too. So there's a lot going on.
That's a whole thing.
When you're that age, it's it can be overwhelming. But it's just. I don't know. It's interesting. I guess when you think about people who have like these midlife crises, is that what that is? Is that like a cry for help? Is that basically what that is? Or I don't know. People just have their little crisis earlier. Not so little, but I don't know.
I don't know.
It's just.
I don't know. I'm having a crisis right now.
Well, yeah.
Hold on one
second.
Turn off that game and go to school now. And go ahead. And you just said some people have it early. I'm like, is that what's happening now? I don't know.
Well, the word that keeps coming up is identity. And maybe uncovering who you are. And we, that invisible,
absolutely.
You know, spiritual community. There's a lot of know who you are, and in the capital letters, you know who you are. But there's a lot of that happens where when you ask who am I, and if you feel so insignificant and so small, sometimes that's a really hard question.
It's a hard question
to ask, and it's even harder to answer.
Right.
So I do wonder about that, and we all have these little, you know, these time periods where that becomes a crisis. you know, puberty, obviously.
Oh, yeah, that's where the lab experiment's taking place as we speak, right?
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And then I think, you know, again, when you go off to school, you know, if you happen to go to a different
right.
school and you're living,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a completely different place, and you're put into a situation where, in a sense, you're sort of, you almost have to be compared to your peers, but then you realize it's not about the comparison because it doesn't really matter in that sense. You're not supposed to be... You're not supposed to be like everybody else, but you're supposed to be like everybody else.
Right.
From the perspective of, say, like, parents, you want your kid, this is exactly what my, you know, this is what I got from my parents, you know, was that, you know, you want to, not that you want to fit in, but you want to do well. And if you're doing well, to some degree, that means you're fitting in. But whatever doing
right.
well means,
right.
is very subjective.
Yeah,
so
it's different
out.
For everybody. Some people, it's
so
A
coming
pluses.
Out.
Yep, coming
right.
out. Yep.
Coming out means means you're going to be different from everybody else.
Yep.
And that and there's that vulnerability where some people aren't going to like that. Well, some people didn't like that I made straight A's, you know.
You can't
different
win.
Situation.
And, right.
Right.
Right. Right. Right. And the perception, too, it's like, well, what is this mother doing? Obviously, she can't control her child. She can't, and she's not
like
taking care of her
control anything. Right.
Yeah, and there's the rub. Like, even the cop in the patrol car, he's like, and do you know where his friends live? I said, I know the buildings. Do you know the apartments? I said, not for everybody. He goes, well, you should. And then I checked the cop. Oops. I'm in the backseat of the car. And I said, did your mother know every place, every friend? Well, just about. And I went, well, good for her. And I said, let me stop because this guy's going to arrest me. I'm like checking the cop. Let me just dial
yeah,
it back.
It's but you know, also in this day and age, we seem to take it for granted that we have all this information that we could do, we could have, but we can't keep it all. I mean, I would guess that growing up, my parents really didn't know where all my friends lived. They knew a handful.
No, they didn't even know where I was. Once I came home.
No, yeah, they really, yeah, you're right. They didn't have a tracker on me because they would see that I rode my bike all over three different subdivisions. You know, I was everywhere.
Right.
So, but the expectation nowadays is, you should be able to run your own, you know, covert operations station from your home, and you should
yeah.
know
yeah.
where everybody is, and you should
and when
know
the phone dies,
from everything that they post,
uh-huh. or when they're
right.
or when they're smart enough to hack into it, they're
right.
so smart.
Oh yeah,
yep,
yeah.
They're like little hackers, these kids, so they can yeah, doesn't parental
because
control all of that. They can, they're brilliant.
It's the equivalent of us sneaking out of our homes
right.
at night, you know, when we were kids, just to get
it's
out. You figure
thing.
Out a way
yep.
to bypass
Smart.
Those locks. You figure out
yep.
a way to not make
Tip-toe.
It obvious from the front door.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know which planks
creak
and which don't.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So you know how to figure it out. And so it's just that now it's on a much more sophisticated level because so many people have access to this information, but it's not knowledge.
It's not,
you know,
yes.
it's not.
It's not knowledge.
Like,
that's good.
It's not knowledge.
Mm.
And we're all at that at this elevated level of access to some degree, but if you still don't have the critical thinking skills or decision making skills,
well, exactly. It's access.
You run into the same. You run into the same issues. So.
Right. Yeah, I'm running into the issue right now as we speak. I just, like, smacked mm-hmm. it with the remote. Like, please. You say you're going to school and you don't go to school. Get up and go right now. Okay.
Mm.
I don't even know how I have managed not to have a nervous breakdown. I mean,
yeah.
literally. Literally. If... Every show for the last several weeks, if not month or two, because I've lost all track of linear time. I have to shut down my brain so I can function and work and earn a check
mm-hmm.
and not get hit by a car. but I'm disassociating so much. Like a person with multiple personality disorder, I literally have to leave my body so I can function.
Mm.
Yeah, I've never loved anybody the way I love this kid.
I know.
I mean, I'm strong, but this is, yeah, this hurts as much as when my daughter died.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, worse, because I know what it's like to lose a child, and my other one's at risk. Please turn that off and go to school. He's about to win his stupid game. And the thing is, if I take away the phone, then I can't track him.
Mm-hmm.
But that phone is cracked and all that. I've repaired it so many times. I'm not repairing anything. He can end up with two cans and a piece of string at this point. Oh, it's so painful. Like every fiber. And I'm like, just claiming health. This is... I don't want to say this, but this is where cancer comes from. Like, I am just praying, like, clean, keep clean.
Mm.
Clean thoughts, clean cells, clean. I have two children to be strong for, but I have to be strong for myself first.
Yes, you do.
And their father is, he's so mad at me.
Why?
So angry at me, because he doesn't understand why we can't be friends. Well, not if you're sending me lyrics to, like, very cryptic songs that imply that you're missing me in the wee hours of the morning. And, he yelled at me. We had to sign papers the other day at the bank. And, could you just, lighten
oh,
up?
Oh, yeah.
Like, no, I can't. No, I can't lighten up.
Mm.
I'm painted into such a corner. So now with our son... Oh, I'm doing such a good job as a mother. Like, I tell my son, I'm like, this is just playing right into your father. He can say, well, I'm failing as a mom. And my last resort, and I said this to Jeremiah this morning, and he's here listening to me, not leaving for school yet, and I'm, like, shaking. I said, do I have to entrust your education to your father? So I'm going to have to tell him to look for a military school? Are we doing that? I pulled him out of parochial school because I felt it was racist, and I wanted to embrace the beauty of what it is to be black and young and free.
Mm.
And it doesn't make me feel better that the cops and the teachers say this is like... This isn't uncommon 12-year-old behavior.
Yikes.
Well, it's uncommon for me.
Yeah.
It's uncommon for me. And for the love and devotion. But no one could live like this. A mother cannot live like this. I'm telling him, well, you better spend Mother's Day with your father because I want to be by myself. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And it's a miracle. I had to teach for 3 hours yesterday. And they can't get enough. I just, everything shuts down except for that one thing. I'm crossing the street. I'm focusing on crossing the street. I'm a breath away from getting hit by a car. I don't even want to leave the house.
Yeah.
And you know, that's not who I am.
No, you want to stay grounded.
No, I'm afraid. I'm afraid for my safety. My mental health. I'm self-medicating. I see why people start drinking during the day. Like, thank God I have enough resolve and discipline not to do that. But I could see the path. I see it. I see it. And because I survived the loss of my first child, and I didn't do that, I know I'm strong enough not to succumb now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in big trouble. And he's sitting here, right here, listening to me. Like, this is how we're so honest with each other. But apparently it's not enough for him to get his shit together to leave the house and go to school. And I don't care that I'm cursing right now. I don't care. But this is not who I am. But I know what it's like to feel broken. Yet once again. And I don't know why the hell he's still here. So what do I do? Call the youth officer at the precinct again? What do I do? I'm going to have him evaluated for special ed because I don't know if this is a learning disability. I don't know if this is a mental health issue now or typical 12-year-old behavior. I can't just accept that, typical 12-year-old behavior. This is so extreme. And he's walking around like he's 35 and owns his own business and going to play squash in a few minutes. Like, just so, it's not defiant or disrespectful, it's just casual. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure he'll leave eventually. Every morning. Every night. Every morning it's a struggle to get him to school, and every night I'm worried sick that he's... There's a lot of crime in our area. People think, oh, it's such a... one of the, you know, best neighborhoods in New York. It's one of the most... there's a lot of crime because this is a neighborhood in New York City, I've said this before in the show, where it's the highest income disparity. So literally, one building next door to another could have homeless people as a shelter and then be a multi-million dollar high rise.
Wow.
And nothing but a wall separating. Yeah. Uh-huh. There's a lot of mental illness in the neighborhood. There's a lot of homelessness. There's a lot of entitled privileged people that are completely out of touch and insulated. And the reason why when I left the house last night, so I'm putting myself at risk, walking in the projects, dark of night, looking for my son, putting my safety at risk, looking for my child because his phone has died. It's like 10:30, 10:40 at night. And I turn the corner and I see a patrol car parked with the lights flashing.
Oh, God.
So I flagged them down and I said, this is what's going on. And the reason that they were there was because there's been an increase in crime in the area, and so they wanted to have more of a physical presence, which is why the lights were flashing, but they were parked.
Wow.
Yeah. What is your son, what is your 12-year-old doing at 11 o'clock at night? I'm like, well, let's blame the mom. Well, he's now changed his outfit, so that means he's getting ready to get out of here. So it's going to happen eventually. It's like, you know, I don't want to, it's racist Chinese water torture, but it's like that, but it's like that, I don't know what they call it, but that water torture, they used to call it that. I don't want to.
Just drop water on your forehead.
You need to go. Thank you. You're not a co-host on this show.
I don't care. I'm still here.
Okay. Anyway. Yay. Good times. Aren't we lucky we got them? Yeah. Not enough coffee in the world. I'm not drinking alcohol, but I'm drinking coffee. Boatloads of coffee.
You want another cup
of coffee? No. Jeremiah, I'm fine. I don't need anything. You know what I need? I need you to go to school. He's like, you offer me to make me a cup of coffee. I'm like, could you just go to school?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm afraid to get on the subway. I'll have to go up to see my mom. And it's not like agoraphobia. I'm because of my sensory processing.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm seeing. I don't know what I'm feeling. Yeah. And even walking home from work, it was about 10 o'clock, a little bit before 10. And I was hearing this, like the scraping of like metal, like every few seconds. I'm like, okay, what the hell is that? And it was this well-dressed, middle-aged man. But I could, thank God, we have the perception that we have. Like, that's why I think I'm not in the middle of a mental collapse, because I'm connected to Source, and I'm just facing this head-on, because I know that's what I need to do, and to embrace the wisdom and the strength that I'm gaining from this and the compassion. But it's so difficult. It's so painful. It's horrendous. And I'm like, something's off, just the energy. And then all of a sudden I hear screaming, and he's yelling at these, I guess they're like 20-something, that they were in front of a restaurant and they were smoking. And he was screaming at them for smoking, but screaming like a crazy person.
Wow.
Like just yelling at them, like, you're going to die and this, and you're killing you. And the people that he was yelling at, they were just in shock. Normally, you would see like some defiant, like, you know, mind your business, leave me alone. But it was so extreme. Like even the 20 somethings were like, okay, they're like, we're not saying nothing. And then he was screaming. Then he walked past them, and then he's swinging the umbrella so that the spike metal point of the umbrella was scraping against. I'm like, oh, this reminded me of, remember Clockwork Orange? Kind of reminded me of that. Like, oh. This is like menacing, but he's well dressed. I'm like, he is crazy. He's muttering under his breath. So I was like sidestepping him. I walked to the other side of the street, and thank goodness he walked into the bus terminal, Port Authority bus terminal. So it's not the best of neighborhoods, but it's like I can walk any place in New York. It's like I'm good. And thank God that I just have that second nature, that instinct to really my survival skills are so heightened and refined and sharp that I could be in a coma and be like, okay, there's somebody that's not right, like two doors down. Like I'm good.
Right.
Thank God. Thank you, God. But we're all vulnerable. And then, of course, I'm checking the tracker for where my son is. I see that his phone has died. I see the last place where he was, so I'm walking into very dangerous areas. It said 27th Street.
Oh, 27th and 11th?
And I'm walking and looking all over the place, and and I'm putting myself at risk. So now I don't like to leave the house. That is so not who I am. And, yeah. The collateral damage, he's not capable of understanding. And I'm protecting him. But there's a term in adoption called the nurturing enemy, where the authority figure, the parent that the child feels closest to, that they trust the most, is the one that's going to go through the hardest. So that would be me. And I fantasize of the day when he is a successful young man, and this is behind him, and he has the mental capacity to know that his mother stood by him, and that we become even close, because we're very close, we become even closer than we, I think about that, the successful young man that's inside the troubled 12-year-old. It's like how Michelangelo saw David in the rock, in the marble.
Right.
I see his magnificence.
He's able to create that.
Yeah, I see the magnificence of who he's capable of becoming. But when people say, like, I don't even talk to too many people either. I don't want to hear this too shall pass. No kidding. Yeah, that's helpful. Anyway, that's pretty much it. And, of course, no callers because I really didn't want to get into this, but I'm glad we had the conversation talking about, like, mental illness and all those things because it's all connected.
It is. It is. And I just don't we're still like these huge gaps where I'm like, what's a solution? Not even the solution.
There's no solution.
There's
no solution. It's just perseverance. It's maintaining and perseverance and maintaining my mental, physical, and spiritual health and creating a beautiful home environment. It's not good enough because he only feels free when he's outside. I don't know what that means. He feels trapped in this house. I don't know why. See, the thing is, he's not allowed to have friends now. Privileges are earned, but now the lack of privileges are being used against me. But I'm not rewarding bad behavior and not being listened to.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I can't be manipulated, and I won't be manipulated. It's just so much energy and so much effort, and thank God I have a lot of energy and tenacity and fortitude, and I'm able to function, but it's never been this hard to function in my entire life, and that's saying a lot. Because this girl has been around the block. Yeah. There's no solution. I don't know why he's still here. And I have to sign papers with my older son, who's being escorted by their father. For my apartment, because now my son is over 18. He has to be listed on some documentation, but there's a time frame. So this is all like last minute. So he's driving him. That's why he's being escorted. He's driving him from school. And I'm telling Jeremiah, you better go. You don't want to run into your father. He's still here. Anyway, I'm like beside myself right now. I'm shaking. So what happens if I do? I'm losing my mind as I'm on the show right now. I'm seriously on the verge of a nervous breakdown. Okay. I think I should get off.
We can end.
He has to get to school. To be continued. So I'm going to let you sign off.
That's fine. And
I love
you.
I got to get my act together right now, so I need to do it. And
okay.
He's not leaving, so I got to take care of business.
Okay. Go ahead and do
I love
that.
You guys
I'll
so
off.
Much. Okay. I love
Good
you.
Luck.
Okay, I'm going to go. Okay, thanks. Okay,
right.
Bye.
Bye. So, everybody, the ongoing sagas. This is what we deal with on our everyday spirituality, and I feel so. I guess feeling bad isn't going to help the situation, but I feel for Liz and for things that she's going through with her family. She's a very strong woman in so many respects, and sometimes that strength ends up in a sense being almost being used as a challenge to see, oh, well, how much stronger can you be, you know? But, you know, we spent some time with her last month, And so we definitely know the situation, at least I've seen it. You know, I was the one staying there, and you know, her son is actually, he's a handful, but he's a lot of fun. He's very engaging, but this stuff, like for me, stuff with school, it's something that I always had to do. And in a sense, I always enjoyed it because I'm a nerd like that. And I don't think I had that rebellious streak. You know, for me, being out of the house and going to school was fun because there were other opportunities. And, you know, it was never about when you skip school. So I just feel like I'm in a different world, I guess, maybe for most people. But you know, I see her son, and he's usually wanting to get, you know, some sort of attention, you know, some way of kind of being included. But yeah, I'd see her struggle. I just couldn't even imagine waking up late or being told to wake up and then not being able to go anywhere, you know, not really moving fast enough to do anything. There's no urgency for him. And he really just doesn't want to go. And I don't know. I don't know how I would deal with that as a parent, you know, as a mother. Because I would never even want to get like a lecture from my parents, much less, you know, back then it would have been a beating probably if we didn't go, if we didn't do something we were told. So, you know, maybe that's our own way of dealing with it. But nowadays it's just such an interesting dynamic because, you know, children, they still have, you know, minds of their own and thoughts of their own, and they don't have enough experience to see what the consequences are. They don't always see the consequences include their parents because the parents are technically still in charge of them. And so I just feel for Liz taking on that. And also because of the relationship that she's going through, like going through a divorce and probably not being able to really tell much about or share that burden with her soon to be ex-husband. So I just, you know, she's not alone, but there's not a lot of that people can do to help other than holding good thoughts and trying to send some good energy to both her and to her son. Like I said, well, to be continued. I really appreciate everyone listening through to this. You too, Raven, I'm going to send Liz a copy of the things that you've said in the chat room. And, we will end the show a little early today, just given that the light of what's happening today. And I just feel for her. I mean, they'll be able to touch base, but hopefully we will be able to all be back again on the air on Tuesday, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. If you do need to reach us in the meantime, we do have an email address. That is loablend@gmail.com. If you have a question, we can address it quickly on the air. If you have a more in-depth question and you would like to get possibly a private reading with either me or with Liz or with combined with the both of us, we can figure out that time schedule. But you can still send an email, same thing, loablend@gmail.com. Please listen to us throughout the week. We are on Universal Energy Radio. We do have some additional shows throughout the week. Just have to see what's going on. You can like us on Facebook. You can follow us on Blog Talk Radio, Universal Energy Radio, and you should be able to get updates on what kind of programs we have coming in store for you. So everyone have a great day, a great weekend. We love you all. Please take care and to brighter days ahead.